Blog Talk Radio.
At 2 years old, she didn't speak or babble. She made no eye contact and bristled at physical touch. Yet her Sunday school teachers carefully tweaked lessons and class routines to accommodate her autism. Thanks to their enormous love and the flexibility of Heart Shaper Sunday School curriculum, the first word she ever spoke was the name of Jesus. Her name is Jilly, and she's a future Heart Shaper graduate. Heart Shaper for toddlers through preteens is proud to sponsor Shaping Special Hearts.
Welcome to Shaping Special Hearts. My name is Vanji Rodenbeck, and I am your host today for this very special show. Our show highlights ministry to children, teens, and adults that have special needs and learning differences. And what we do is we seek to resource and encourage and equip and empower those who minister alongside them. You can call in our show if you have an interest in today's topic at 424-258-9286. Sometimes we don't have a whole lot of takers on that. People get shy. So we have another way for you to deliver questions to us, and that is in our live chat room at cmconnect.org. You can post a question there, and we have some producers that are monitoring that chat room. They can shoot that question to me that way, and that way I can get that question to today's guest, who is one of my most favorite people, not only to hear speak, but just to spend time with. We like to sneak off when we are away at conferences and get supper anytime we can in a, in a dark corner of a restaurant so that no one can kind of see us and know who we are, and that is Barbara Newman. I've gleaned so much wisdom at a table with her. She has been a balm to my soul. And we have talked about this going back a couple of years, talked about the gospel and worship and trying to convey the idea of what it's like to have people with different abilities in worship and how we can really make the gospel message, the idea of the Jesus message on earth, to free everyone, to set the captives free, and to provide healing for everyone, how we can make that accessible. And I think I was with her when she had sat across from me and said, I've got an idea for this book. And today she is here to talk about what happened with that little small idea. Now, Barb is a church and school consultant for CLC Network. And she's an author of several books and a frequent national speaker at educational conferences and churches. In addition to writing and speaking, Barb enjoys working in her classroom at Zeeland Christian School, which is where she is broadcasting from today, from her office classroom. So she mentioned, should there be someone come in to need her at the very last minute or an interruption, just know that that is a person with a learning difference, perhaps needing Barb more than we need her. So we just laugh about things like that. We're glad that she's in ministry in two ways right now while she is on the show. We're also happy to say that CLC Network is a ministry partner with Standard Publishing. You can find out more about that at heartshaper.com, about the kind of things that CLC Network does and how Standard is partnering with them in a wonderful way to equip churches and schools to minister to people who just learn a little bit differently and are maybe reflecting God's image in a different way. Well, Barb, I'm so incredibly excited to dig into our topic today. But before I do, even though you've been on the show before, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey into the world of ministry to people with special needs and different ways of learning?
I would love to do that after I say, yes, how we have enjoyed many a time just encouraging each other in the roles that we have. It's a treat to be with you too, Vanji, and to do this today. Thank you for the opportunity, and Standard Publishing too. Great to have partners, isn't it? In ministry,
yes,
we never do things as an island, but to be doing things in community with other organizations that share God's heart, and certainly Standard and CLC Network share that heart, and that's exciting. But I became a special education teacher, and I've worked in Christian schools, which I know that in itself is a bit unique, but I've worked for CLC Network pretty much my whole career. And it just so happened that many of my students who were being included 7-8 hours a day at our Christian school, some of them with Down syndrome, some with autism, some with unique behavioral, emotional, physical challenges, they were getting kicked out of their Sunday schools and churches. And parents were being asked to leave, try the church down the road. Sorry, we don't have anything for you here. Two of your three children are welcome. But I just realized there was this huge struggle with churches to really know not why they should do this. Most of them get that part. They understand the body of Christ. They understand that each one is important to that body. But so often, as I investigated more with pastors over the years, they just really feel like they don't know how. It's the how-to part. And that is really where I have tried to come alongside churches. I know you would do that as well. But really saying, okay, what have we learned in that Christian school environment? How can we resource peers? How can we best take practices that we know are effective for individuals with disabilities and translate those into a church environment so that people can have access to the richness of that gift from God called the church, and each one can grow one step closer to Jesus Christ. So I've spent probably, I started teaching in 1984 and really started purposefully working with churches in the late 1990s, and that has only intensified and continued to today. So that's my story, and I'm so very, very thankful for those opportunities.
Absolutely, and we are thankful for everyone that you have had, not only locally to your area, but I know you're getting some opportunities to speak even internationally now and reach out in ways. God has opened so many doors mm-hmm. for you, and what a blessing that is for all of us, not only for the people that you are able to go and speak with, but when you come back and tell us stories, as you said, the whole community is growing richer with this experience. Mm-hmm. I thank you for sharing mm-hmm. that. Well, mm-hmm. in the introduction of your new book, Accessible Gospel, Inclusive Worship, you tell a powerful story, and you've told me this story before just one-on-one, and I've heard you tell it in a classroom, and I never get tired of it. And you say in your book that that story was the motivational force not only behind this book, but that it's the reason for every other topic on your speaking list. I was wondering mm-hmm. if you could tell our listeners that powerful story and how it has motivated you, because I believe it will speak to them too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happened several years ago, and it was at a conference where the person speaking happened to have autism, and it was a crowded room, and the individual got done with her keynote speech and had about 5 minutes left for questions, but she also happens to have autism spectrum disorder, you know, so as a speaker, not always aware of the emotions and motivations behind people's questions and, you know, what they might be thinking or feeling. And so one of the persons raised their hands, and she called on this person, and the mom asked, I was just wondering how I can best introduce my daughter who has autism to God. And without much array at all, the speaker said, God is too hard for people with autism to understand, next question, and went right on. And I looked at this woman and her face pale, and then it just dropped. She was she started to cry, and I thought, okay, I need to find her, because I need to tell her other stories. I need to tell her of the children that I have seen with autism who have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And I tried so hard to get to this woman. I tried. I went to the bathroom as soon as the session was done. I even went out to the parking lot just trying to catch her, and I never found her. And I thought, I did not on that day get a chance to tell her the other side of that story. But when you write a book, you always hope maybe this information will end up in a church in her community. Maybe it will end up with somebody who can give her that different answer through their church, through their family, through their interactions, and say, you know what, we have some information, we have some ideas for you to try. And so every time I sat down to write this book, I just had this picture of this woman in my mind. And even to this day, you know, topics are important. It's important to understand something about Down syndrome or autism. It's important to understand response to intervention and differentiated instruction and universal design. All of those are important things. It's good to have the right pencil, the fidget pencil and the weighted vest and things that help soothe sensory systems. All of those things are important. But I really believe that the reason why I speak even on some of those things is really to feed the central question in how can we make that introduction between an individual and Jesus Christ. That, to me, is the most important question any one of us can answer in our lifetime. And so if some of those topics help educate that opportunity, then I think it's a time well spent.
Absolutely. Some of our listeners have heard I'm in a brand new ministry just about 2 months in, and was on hallways Sunday morning and received a text on my phone saying there's a mom who's in the lobby. Can you report to the connection point is what we kind of call our lobby area.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I reported in. It was a mom, and she was waiting for me, and I'd met her before. And as I sat down to speak with her about whatever her concern was, it came up very quickly that her child had some special needs and was in special education. And as we began to talk and it began to unravel, it mm-hmm. was the same kind of question mark. What
yes.
do you think he's getting out of being here?
Yes.
And that
yes.
fear was there, and it was all there. It's such a universal question that it comes up in almost every conversation with every parent. And
yes.
can I ask you to do things to teach him the gospel, because is there any point in him being here? And it's such a frightening prospect for a parent to say,
yes.
is it okay? You know, and her question specifically was, I really thought about him coming to VBS, but I thought, is there any point in him coming to VBS?
Mm.
What a heartbreaking question. It was so my honor to say there's every reason for him to be at Vacation Bible School. But how many generations have gone by? How many parents have not heard that? And I
right.
just resound and give you a standing ovation for the work you put into writing down the yes for
mm-hmm.
this, because everything just boils down to making it possible to connect people with Christ across the board,
mm-hmm.
learning difference
mm-hmm.
or not.
Yeah.
With a
yeah.
learning difference, you've called it planting our feet on common ground. And you have a very special illustration for this that I have been privileged to use myself. And it's so foundational to a first step for sharing the gospel. Can you share that image and that illustration with our listeners?
I am guessing you're thinking of a green and pink puzzle piece. Am I right about that?
I am.
I would love to share that. You know, it's funny because I haul them around everywhere I go because it just was something that seems to make sense to me, and it seems to make sense to lots of other people. But I also wrote about this in the book because I think it's foundational not only to think about it as we look at a person with a disability, but it's also important to look at it as we look at everybody who is made in God's image. And so that would be everybody. But I often say that our lives are a lot like that puzzle piece, half of it green, half of it pink, or whatever percentage in either way. That's less important than understanding that green represents what I would consider our strengths, the things that are easy for us. And pink represents our hot spots, the things that are more difficult for us, our weaknesses. And I often will say in Psalm 139, when God said that he knit us together, I think he used green and pink yarn, because it's true for everybody. We're all a combination of greens and pinks. And so you can take the person with the highest IQ in the world, and they will be able to tell you the things that are easy for them and the things that are difficult for them. It is just human nature. It's like that's how we're designed. And so, you know, I often say to people, green for me are words. I love words, you know, so let me read them and write them and play with them. Let me go on Facebook and play words with friends because it's my favorite thing to do. But please don't throw a ball at me, because pink for me is anything having to do with eye-hand coordination. So it will most likely hit me somewhere instead of allow me to catch it or field it or whatever. So, you know, we all have different greens and pinks. And I think that's even scriptural, how many of us have gone through those, you know, colors of ministry. And, you know, as the gifts of the Spirit seem more prevalent in greens, you know, that becomes a part of someone's strength. And so, you know, even those areas I think we can look at as things that are easy for us. But as we look at our own puzzle piece, I think the truth is, so often we look at a person with a disability and we seem to see an all pink person. You know, oh, well, it's Down syndrome, Jonathan. It's autistic Sue. It's wheelchair Bob. It's bipolar Hank. You know, and people don't really see that that's not scriptural either. You know, God's given each one a gift to bring to the body of Christ. Each one is there to build up one another. And so we all come to the body, we all come to life with a green and pink puzzle piece, including persons with disabilities. And so when I'm standing in front of people, I'll often put those puzzle pieces together and say, so if it's true that God made each piece, it's also true that God arranges those pieces. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but in fact God has arranged the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so God sends this family to this church knowing that this child with Down syndrome or ADHD is there to build up that body, to use this person's gifts, to be part of that puzzle that's going to strengthen and encourage this place. And the church looks at this person, sends that puzzle piece away and says, sorry, we don't have anything for you here. Who loses out? You know, certainly that child does, because that child doesn't have access to things like VBS and Sunday school, a place where you can grow in your relationship or be introduced to Jesus Christ. But so did the rest of the body, because they just sent away somebody that God had intended to use in that community to build them up. And I think so often we just say, well, yeah, we're choosing to have a program or not. And I think, really, have you thought biblically what it means to send that family away? Have you thought of how that impacts the entire community? And so, you know, I often say, okay, so why is that common ground? Why is that so important? Well, not only do I think we need to discover the greens and pinks of that child who may have a disability, the one we want to share or introduce to Jesus Christ, right? The one we want to have included as part of our community. We need to know what they're good at and what things are challenges. But I also think it informs so many parts of how we interact with people. So, for example, you know, I've a birth happens, right? And this particular child is born with, let's just say, spina bifida. I've heard some of those announcements within the community done more like funeral announcements. Oh, I'm so sorry to inform you that, you know, so-and-so gave birth to. They gave birth to what? You know, they gave birth to not a disability. They gave birth to a child. And I think that that's a really, really important part that, okay, so who is this? This is first and foremost a child who has been made in God's image, a child who is, you know, an incredible gift to the community, an image bearer, an honored, indispensable member of the body of Christ, and who also may happen to have spina bifida, right? So I just think it informs so many things. I think it informs what we call our ministries, right? So often we think that we're ministering to persons with disabilities, but is that really correct? Because if it's a puzzle piece picture, that person's going to minister to me as well. So, you know, maybe it's ministry with persons with disabilities, or I don't, you know, I think there's so many things that we need to think about as we're putting that together, and puzzle pieces make sense. So did that make sense to you? Did I explain that a way that you think listeners will understand?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to make listeners aware that the reason why I have been able to take that and share it is because you have taken it and put it into a kit, and your whole lesson on that is available at the store at CLC Network, that you can take that. It comes with, is it 20 or 25 puzzle pieces?
I think it's 20. Mm-hmm, 20. Mm-hmm.
And I took that, was asked to speak at American Heritage Girls troop meeting for a badge that they were earning called All God's Children to inform typical children about children with disabilities in a godly way. and was able to take that kit, teach that lesson to these girls. They were able to go after that and do some service projects. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful and gave me tools, gave me an image to be able to convey with other people. So listeners, it is a wonderful tool. That is a great illustration for us to be able to use. This does give us that common ground to say, let's diffuse a little bit of this. Let's see where we're alike. And let's see where we do all struggle. Because after we find that common ground, if we're going to share the gospel message with anyone, with anyone in our churches, finding that common ground is important. Because the next step is saying, what are going to be the barriers to someone receiving information? How are they going to take in information? Therefore, how are we going to share information? And we do this sometimes with, perhaps we think about it more with the elderly. We stop and we think, do we have assistive hearing devices for them? I know that we have some of those here available at the church. You know, and we think about it sometimes in some contexts, but not always in others. And you've done such a masterful job of going through and explaining all the different implications of taking in and sharing information in this book. Can you summarize how some of these steps in taking in and sharing information are so crucial in making the presentation of the gospel message accessible to all?
Right, and in fact, you know, that's one thing when writing the book, you step back and think, okay, you know, what has worked in my situation, right? I've had the joy of building environments where I can introduce people to Jesus over many years, and I guess each and every time the process I used was really getting to know that person and asking the right question. And I think one of the things I often tell people is make sure you do ask the right question. Instead of saying what the person cannot do, it's important to ask what can this person do? And so how does this person take in information? And so many times individuals that might struggle with listening to words, well, if we added pictures or used pictures, is that easier for that person to understand? So how does that person get information out if we want to check for comprehension, if that person doesn't perhaps have words to use, what are our alternate options? How does that person communicate what they've learned? And so is it a movement? Is it a picture? Is it a sign? You know, so there are many issues. And even issues such as attention span plays into that. If you have a person who can pay attention for, you know, 1 minute, you better be fast in making those interactions.
Right.
Or have some tools in the environment that you can use to lengthen that attention span. So, again, it's all about really getting to know the person's greens and pinks and then and understanding more about that person. So the book leads listeners into several sets of questions. And by the end of it, they come up with a pretty nice set of pieces of information that should very specifically then be able to direct you to, okay, if I want to introduce this person to Jesus Christ, number one, I better include movement. I better have some pictures. I better do something that involves baking because that's their very favorite thing to do. So maybe what we do is bake something that has a recipe with it that I can use to introduce that person to Jesus Christ. You know, maybe we, I love that our preschool often does that this time of year where they make those biscuits and in the middle when they, after they've baked them, it's empty. And so,
right.
You know, they talk about the tomb being empty. They talk about what Jesus did. And so if baking is a green spot to somebody, if they love to do that, then how can I build that together? And if the person enjoys looking at picture recipes, could I build a picture recipe about what Jesus did? And I just think, you know, so often we really need to put together options for people that hit their green spots, right, the things that they love to do and are good at, but also conform to the way that they're wired. You know, their wiring is not a mistake. That's a, you know, God wired that individual. If we can discover more and more about that wiring, it gives us more and more options. I'll never forget the day. It was just so much fun. I had a person, again, this person had Down syndrome, passionate about the game Capture the Flag. And if you've been a camp counselor, you know a little bit about Capture the Flag, right? Where
right.
You hide flags on either side of the field and you have these jails. And so it's like, And, you know, the Holy Spirit is so active and involved because this is God's heart to build relationship with this individual. You just sort of have to listen and have fun and come along, right? And so I thought, you know what? We can so easily build this introduction to Jesus Christ by using Capture the Flag, right? And we get stuck in the sin jail and we need Jesus to come and tag us and walk us to the other side. And so we can say, I love you, Jesus, and ask Jesus to come. And what was so cool, he loved Capture the Flag so much. He loved this illustration so much. He could act it out for person after person. How many times didn't he tell the gospel story through Capture the Flag? And it was just a wonderful experience. And, you know, when writing the book, the truth is that's not going to work with everybody because they don't all like Capture the Flag. But how can we discover more and more about that individual and then put together something where we can build an environment where we can introduce that person to Christ?
Absolutely. I remember us trying to explain to Noah, for our listeners who might not be familiar with my son, Noah has autism. And is such a concrete thinker that a lot of the imagery language was either terrifying to him or just something he couldn't connect with. And when we finally were trying to figure out a way to discuss baptism with him, my husband came up with the idea that was trying to explain to him that it was a symbol and explained to him that it was like a symbol in the same way that the icon on his iPad is a symbol for an app, that if you were to press that symbol, that opens an app that runs a program, a very specific program, and that it was a symbol in the same way, that it showed that he belonged to Jesus, that he was a Christ follower. And that small piece of communication for him flipped a switch, and he just knew. And it was just learning him and understanding him, and that was going to be the way.
Yes.
All the traditional methods and pictures and books and all of that, as beautiful as it is and as effective as it is with other people, was kind of a waste on Noah. I needed to know him, but I was made so much more beautiful, honestly, in the process, Barb, and I know you would say the same thing, by getting to know him. And your book is full of story after story after story, and examples, which I think is such a strength of the book. Because as I read through those examples, I could think of examples, and it made those children real to me and therefore made me think about people that I encounter. So, listeners, I encourage you, pick up a copy of this book, read it, live through these stories, and it will make it so real to you. It was so much less intimidating to me. And I went, well, of course we could do it like this. Of course we could. Barb, likewise, you say most of our worship setting, after we present the gospel message and we're including people in a worship, in a praise setting where we're so excited about that, whether it's just a praise atmosphere or it's a learning atmosphere, you say that can be described in one word, and it was so appropriate. Can you say what that one word is, and then tell us why that is crucial to our understanding of worship?
Certainly. The word is conversation, right? I believe worship to be a conversation with God. And that opens some doors to understanding more about it. I think just as the first part of the book, I would say, you know, that whole idea of presenting the gospel, I really am thinking about some perhaps individuals on the autism spectrum and Down syndrome. But the last part of the book, talking about inclusive worship and including everyone in that conversation with God, whether that's done corporately or whether that's done at home in devotions, you know, wherever that conversation might be happening, that's really talking about everybody. I'll often compare it to, you know, we build accessible parking spots, right? We build opportunities for people to get to bathrooms and have, you know, poles and bars and drinking fountains, and that's all very, very important. But I think sometimes our churches have thought about having more accessible building features than we have thought about having an accessible conversation with God on a Sunday. And really, how do we learn to have that conversation with God? Most of us learn to do that in a place like a church. And if we have been denied access to that, how does that carry over into what we do at home and maybe in small groups or in our families? So that's a critical point, I think, for people to be able to participate in. And so, you know, when I designed the book, I thought, yeah, this first part makes me think of maybe people who have, you know, intellectual disabilities and autism. But maybe the last part of the book, I'm thinking more about everybody. It might be an individual who has ADHD. You know, I think pastors are often wondering why people pull their phones out 10 minutes into the worship service, and they're thinking they're looking up a scripture passage when, quite honestly, they could just be playing zombies or Candy Crush, because you sort of have to re-engage people. You have to plant things within a service every 5 to 7 minutes if you really want people to stay with you, right? So how can we build that accessible conversation with God where everyone is part of that community? So that is the one word. And I think, again, as we think about that, entering into that conversation, it just is a way to clarify. Sometimes our worship services are so filled with large words and a lot of a difficult concept sometimes for people. But when you boil it down, really, it's a conversation with God.
It is. It is. And you do such a wonderful job breaking this down into pieces of conversation, different kinds of conversation. And much of the way you frame, or I would even say reframe, the idea of this conversation and the idea of worship is through the idea of vertical habits. and listeners, the way Barb has done this made me look at the last half or almost two-thirds of the book, if you count the appendix and the tools listed there, and almost customize it for certain children, looking at their strengths, looking at their green puzzle piece, and certain adults, based on what their strengths are, is what their good vertical habit, where their green piece is going to be for that. I'd like you to tell our listeners what these vertical habits are and how Accessible Gospel Inclusive Worship helps the reader use vertical habits as a tool.
Right. Well, and an odd word, and I'm not going to take credit for that thing called vertical habits. That was part of an organization called the Calvin Institute of Christian Worship. And many years ago, they sort of birthed and nurtured this idea, and I was part of working on this project at the time. But sometimes good things take a while to bubble and turn up in books many, many years later. But here's the idea behind it. Any human relationship an intimate human relationship is based on using words with one another. We look at somebody and we say, "I love you." We look at somebody and we say, "I'm sorry." You know, how far does a relationship go if we really haven't included that word in that human relationship? We might say thank you to somebody. We might be close enough to ask that person for help, or even to look at that person and say, why? Why did that happen? And, you know, so often we use key phrases as part of human relationships, but really, in truth to tell, children learn those words at young ages, don't they? How often do we get kids say, you know, here's your food, say thank you? You know, those are some of the phrases we teach children when they're very young. So those phrases are, I would say, pretty accessible to even quite a young individual. But one of the things that that has happened is to think about that worship service on a Sunday, really that conversation with God, even though we've given them big names like a time of confession, really that's a time to say I'm sorry to God, right? Or a time of adoration, right? It's really a time to say I love you. Time of thanksgiving and gratitude. Well, that's a time to tell God thank you. A time of lament. Oh, how important that is to do.
Yes.
That's really a time we say to God, why? Why? And I know many families and individuals with disabilities that ask that question, why? In worship services, if you break them down, are really comprised of these conversational vertical phrases that we hope for all people who worship will become habits, right? Why do we teach kids over and over to say thank you? Because that's a lifelong habit that we want people to be able to do. Why do we go to worship every week and sometimes multiple times in the middle of that too? Why do we have conversation after conversation, whether personally or corporately? Because you know what? Those are habits that are part of our conversation with God too. To be able to drive down the road and see an accident happen and immediately say, God, help. Help. They need help. Or to ask for help yourself, or to have a situation where you notice this amazing, beautiful sunrise and to be able to instantly look at that and say, thank you, God, right? So we want these to become habits of our lifetime, habits that are part of our intimate conversation with God. And so if you take that and look at that in those ways in a worship service, what I've done then is to take those apart, explain each vertical habit, and then say, okay, well, let's say this is the part in your worship service where you're saying, I love you, to God. Look at that person's puzzle piece. What are they able to bring into that conversation? Maybe this person does not have a lot of words to say, but could they wave a streamer? Could this person sign, I love you, to God? Could this person use their gift of movement and maybe hang up a banner in the church, in the sanctuary, that relates to that phrase called I love you? So how can we use what that person can do, back to that question, what can that person do to include that individual's greens or that puzzle piece within that part of the service? And so, again, each time goes through each vertical habit and gives very, very specific and practical ideas. And is every idea in the book? Absolutely not. Because part of that is the delight of the reader. Hopefully, and that was true with presenting the gospel too, is I'm going to plant some ideas. I'm going to give you enough ideas that your brain starts cooking down that road, right? Then you take that knowledge of that individual and apply it to that setting. So it was just fun to write, and I think listeners who get into this, right, if pick up that book, you'll be able to write additional ideas and chapters and pieces for the individuals that you know. So that's the idea of vertical habits and, you know, using that again as we think of how can this individual participate in saying, I'm sorry, when, you know, that's part of that service time. So that was a just sort of a fun, creative part of the book to write. And because it's part of something larger that the Calvin Institute has put together, we included some of the resources in the appendix just as a way to whet people's appetite to go to this website where everything is available to the learner. So, for example, there is a children's hospital in Ohio that was using vertical habits as part of a healing process for some kids who were part of an institutional setting. And they made icons that went with each vertical habit, and they made them into T-shirts. And as soon as kids in the hospital had gone through each one of the vertical habits, they got a shirt. And they loved it. And so it was this, again, visual reminder, something that they were using all the way along. And these were kids with trouble situations going on in their lives. But this they understood. This was, and they paired it with some really cool drumming options. And it was just this beautiful, but that story is part of the website. So, you know, once you get sort of introduced to the concept, you can then go to the website and say, oh my goodness, we could make banners. We could use this song. We could use some of these paintings that this artist has created. It's all on the website and it's all free to the people that access it. So that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely, absolutely. This book is just rich, not only in the text itself, but you really do, as you are reading it, have trouble not stopping and wanting to make notes or make a plan right then. I advise readers to read it with a notebook in hand, or you'll become incredibly frustrated as trying to put your ideas someplace, because you do come up with so many ideas as you're reading it, and with the name of a person coming to mind, saying, oh, that would be perfect for them, or that would be perfect in this environment, or for this lesson, or with this family, or in this situation. It really does spark the imagination. Now, Barb, one of my favorite sayings of yours is, any good plan has two parts. And I know what you mean by that, and I use that generously and think of you every time I do and quote you on it. Can you tell our audience what you mean by any good plan has two parts?
Sure. And it was sort of fun because in the book, I think I titled that chapter Vertical Habits in a Horizontal Community. But the truth is, so often our churches and schools, too, they pour a lot of time into the IEP, into the individual plan, into coming up with ideas for that person who has a disability. But you know what? If that's the only side you're paying attention to, the plan is probably not going to work very well because you haven't thought at all for the fact that that person is part of a community that involves peers, that involves leaders, that involves volunteers. And so any good plan, in my mind, needs to involve not only coming up with ideas for that individual, but also for the community. So let's just say, for example, that we decide to give a beautifully purple-colored flag to this individual to wave during a time when we're going to be singing. Well, how many notes is the pastor going to get at the end of the service saying, well, what a distraction that was. You know, why did that happen? And so instead to do what this pastor did on that day to say, you know what, I want you to know before we worship, I've asked Mary to wave this purple flag. I'm going to be starting a sermon series on Jesus as our King, and I wanted to really focus on that as we were worshiping today. So, you know, how many letters are you going to get? Now, the plan has two parts. Mary's got the flag, but everybody else has the information that they need to process what's happening. And so often I think we make accommodations or ideas and we have this available and we haven't given this person, you know, the rest of the group, the information they've needed to process what's happening. So time and time again, I think we have to look at as a good plan always having two parts to it, one for the individual and one for the everybody else. And quite honestly, I felt so strongly about that. I think I wrote my first book in 2001. Thankfully, I had a chance to do a second edition of it a year or so ago. But it's called Helping Kids Include Kids with Disabilities. Mm-hmm. But I think that same phrase works for adults as well. Not only do peers of children need information, but peers of adults need information. If we're going to worship together, we better understand the fact that in this section we're going to of the church service, we're going to ask people not to wear fragrances. Why? Because that person won't be able to attend church if we don't have a fragrance-free area in our church. Right. Or the inner circle of the communion bread is gluten-free. Because if we're going to have communion together, right, there are some people who won't be able to take communion unless we offer that option. So how can we get people informed? So if they, you know, the only bread left is in the middle and they think, oh, this is nasty bread or whatever, based on their perspective, can we give information that in order for everybody to participate in communion, we're going to have some bread that is gluten-free? Because that's the way that all can be part of this celebration and remembering Jesus Christ. So again, that I think has always been big to me, and a hallmark of successful inclusive environments is having everybody educated.
Everyone together, everyone in community, everyone educated, everyone equal. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful picture for all of us, because all of us will have need at some point or another to be considered maybe a little bit more. We're all mm-hmm. going to have a time mm-hmm. in our life where we're going to need that consideration. Well, Barb, I typically ask our guests what I call the million-dollar question. So here it is. If there was one thing you could tell churches and ministries across our nation, across the world, about making the gospel message accessible to our friends with different abilities, and you could tell them one thing, based on your experience, what would that one thing be?
You know, that's a really hard question because, you know, we could probably talk for 2 hours about this one thing, right? Yeah. But,
if
I had to pick something, and this, too, is probably in response to the hearts of the people who have asked it over the years, and that is, how do I know my child is saved? The mom asking that question, like the story I told at the beginning of saying, you know, how can I introduce my child to God? The stories you told, Vanjie, of people asking you that exact same question. You know, what is that? And so I guess this is the one thing that I've always said. you know, this is so not about us. This is God's plan of salvation. Salvation is His gift. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired opportunity that we have to participate in a big plan that God has designed for this individual. Who wired that person? Who formed that person? Who knit that person together with green and pink? You know, before that person was even born, this is God's. God is not going to wire somebody where it's not possible to connect to Him. That would just be logically impossible. So, you know, I think the one thing about sharing the gospel message, you know, yep, we need to get to know that person. We need to have some unique tools available to us. But to just be able to relax a little bit and say, this is God's heart. And instead of thinking, well, you know what, it's not me who saves this person. I am part of this amazing plan that God has for this individual's life. But it's God's desire to make that connection. And I, you know, I always say our responsibility is to set up the environment, not to take responsibility for that. So relax, understand the big picture. This is God's wiring, His heart. And what a joy it is that we get to be part of this process. You know, I've seen so many people struggle with, oh, you know, I'm going to present the gospel. Did I do it? Did I say all the right words? Well, you know, yep, it's good to have some information, and it's good to know in your own heart and your own life what that gospel message is. It's good to walk yourself through that, right, to be able to explain it to somebody else. But the truth is, it's God's. The gift of salvation is God's gift to give, not ours. And to relax and enjoy being part of that process with people who are wired differently. I think I put this in the book too. You know, one of the most profound pieces to me was when a mom raised her hand as part of I was on a panel, and she said, my daughter will never get above, you know, an infant understanding, 3 to 6 months, right? Never go beyond that because of a seizure disorder. What can I do to tell my daughter about Jesus? And, you know, one of the panelists quickly responded and said, well, you know, you don't have to do anything. Your child will be, quote unquote, in because they haven't reached the age where they can make a conscious choice or not. And I thought, that's not an okay answer. And that wasn't what mom asked anyway. Mom didn't ask what God's going to do. Mom asked what I can do. And so I looked at that mom and I said, but you know what? What makes your daughter smile? What music? Music makes my daughter smile. You know what? If you want to build an environment, use music. And people from their worship team were there, and they actually built this beautiful recording that became so much a part of the home in that daughter's life that talked about Jesus and used their daughter's name in song multiple times over. Brought a smile to this person's face. And you know what? What do we know? All I know is that they played that tape at her funeral message and at her funeral service. And I thought, you know what? This mom and this worship team, this church, created an environment where they could introduce this one to God. But the wiring and the chance to be part of that family, that's God's gift to us. So that's the million-dollar thing, I guess. And that was an illustration that taught me a lot. What's our part? What's God's part?
Because that mom wanted to tell the story. You know, you just want to tell the story. Barb, one of the best parts of this book, you know, you think, I could think it can't get any better until I got to the final page, and I was overwhelmed, and I have to read your final prayer, or at least part of it. What a job we get to do. We get to pour God's hope over the people He places in our lives. One of the reasons He fills us so that we can overflow His hope on others. There may be some very hope-starved people in your life, people who don't see the God-given gifts in themselves or others, people who thought they would never have a church home, people who heard the voice of the church say, we don't have anything for you here, and they mistook that for the voice of God. May God use your words and actions to pour something different. May they experience godly words and actions that bring hope and healing into their lives. Go ahead and pour it out. Isn't it excellent that we don't have to wake up each morning and try to do these things using our own strength? the perspective and power that comes from the Holy Spirit. May He invade your life and your imagination. May He give you pictures and glimpses of what He sees and pass that on to you. May your own life be one of movement in Christian formation. May you be in constant conversation, not just on the Sabbath, but speaking these words in conversation with God throughout all of your day. I love you and thank you. May the habits of these words become so natural, your conversation with God becomes like breathing. And as you use the materials in this book, may God bless each conversation with His presence and His guidance. May the hope of God, may the God of hope, rather, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is Romans 15:13. Barb, well done. Well done. Can you please give out your contact information so these people can get this book?
Absolutely. Well, and we're so blessed, too, because the Calvin Institute of Christian Worship has loved this book, you know, and wants it in the hands of people. They gave a significant donation to lower the price to $10 a book. So that's the good news, is that it is so accessible and affordable. People can order it on CLC Network's website. So they can go to www.clcnetwork.org, and there's an online store there, and they can place an order there. And we're just thrilled to get that into the hands of people. Do I have time to tell one quick interesting story, Vanjie?
You do it, Barb. Go right ahead.
All right. We were blessed to be able to hand out a free copy at a conference to anybody that stopped at our table. We won't do that at every conference, but we're subsidized. People gave money to that. 700 copies of this book went out, and what we found out was that this was an international conference. And this book went out to countries like Pakistan and China and Japan, places 29 countries is where it went to. And some of the countries don't even believe, really, that persons with disabilities have green parts, much less are they whole people. And to watch this book go into the backpacks and briefcases of people that were heading to those communities, and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I'm so excited. And I don't know who's listening to this or who will go to the website to get a book in response to this, but to sit back right now and just see the places that these ideas are heading, it's thrilling, and it's sort of like getting the front row seat in a miracle that God is doing. And so I just so appreciate the chance to talk about the book, to give the references. And I just hope and pray that God will use this in many, many people's lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of a front row seat, if you would like a front row seat to hear Barb Newman, actually I get the joy of doing a panel discussion with Barb at the Accessibility Summit on April 17th and 18th. Barb and I are going to talk about how to make classrooms more accessible by adapting curriculum with our good friend Amy Kendall, who has also been a guest on the show from Saddleback Church. So I am really looking forward to that. Accessibility Summit is a wonderful, wonderful resource for everyone. I will share that on our Shaping Special Hearts Facebook page. You guys can see that. I hope our listeners have heard today why Standard is so thrilled to be ministry partners with CLC Network and the resources that they are providing, and the heart that they share with people like Barbara Newman and many of their other people there. Barb, again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for this. You guys can find more information about this book and about CLC Network on our Facebook page, Shaping Special Hearts. You can find me on Twitter at Vanjie Rodenbeck or on my blog at VanjieRodenbeck.com, where there's going to be a book review of Accessible Gospel Inclusive Worship at the end of the week with even more goodies about this amazing book. We have another show next month with my good friend Katie Weatherby as host. She is amazing, and I can't wait to hear who Katie is going to interview. She's going to come to you with another very relevant topic about ministering alongside people with different abilities. A huge thank you to our sponsors at Standard Publishing. for making this conversation possible, and for CM Connect, for everything they do to advance the gospel, making it accessible, and to make worship inclusive for people who learn a little bit differently. I pray that your hearts have been encouraged today, so you can go out in ministry and shape the heart of someone else.
What do you want kids in your Sunday school classrooms to learn? What's in God's Word? How to apply God's Word to life situations? And how to have a personal relationship with Jesus? Heart Shaper Children's Sunday School Curriculum takes kids through the Bible five times by the time they reach sixth grade and establishes a love for God and His Word that will last them a lifetime. Teaching is easy and learning is fun. See what's new at www.heartshaper.com.